Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Global Citizen International Digest. I'm Mel Gertov. I'll be reporting and commenting on the most important and sometimes the most neglected international news of the week. Here are today's top stories. As Israeli operations expand in Lebanon, the human toll resembles Gaza's. Thinking crazy thoughts in Israel, and the situation in Haiti is dire. First, the Israeli operations in Lebanon. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said the other day, quote, "We will do to Lebanon what we did to Gaza." Stories coming out of southern Lebanon since the Israeli incursion suggest massive and growing human suffering. Here are some sample stories. First, the UN World Food Programme expressed, quote, "extraordinary concern for Lebanon's ability to continue to feed itself because of the impact of the fighting on food production. More than 7 square miles of cropland has been burned over the past year, most of it in the last few weeks, in fires started by explosions." Matthew Hollingworth, the agency's representative in Lebanon, told reporters that more than 45 square miles of some of the most productive farmland has been abandoned because of the conflict, threatening harvests of such crops as olives, citrus fruits, and bananas. Next, as of about 10 days ago, Lebanon's health ministry reported about 2,000 deaths, including 127 children, since the Israeli invasion began September 30th. 70 towns have been ordered to evacuate. Israel's forces are moving north, well beyond the southern area marked by a 2006 UN buffer zone. An estimated 1.2 million people have been displaced, nearly a quarter of Lebanon's population. A later report is that the Israeli Defense Forces have ordered the UNIFIL, the United Nations force in Lebanon, which administers the buffer zone, to leave the area on the argument that Hezbollah's forces have been deployed there. The World Health Organization expressed concern over rising Israeli attacks on healthcare workers and facilities in Lebanon. Since Israel launched its cross-border assault, such attacks have killed 65 health workers and injured 40 others. Ian Clark, a World Health Organization official in Lebanon, told reporters on a video call that 5 hospitals are no longer functioning due to damage and 4 others are partially evacuating as a result of Israel's operations, warning, he said, that the attacks are further weakening a health system. By the way, the healthcare system in Gaza has also suffered immensely, as I think we all know. A UN human rights inquiry has just determined that, quote, "Israel has perpetrated a concerted policy to destroy Gaza's healthcare system, making its operations actually a war crime." The same report also found that Hamas has, quote, "committed the war crimes of torture, inhuman or cruel treatment by taking Israeli and foreign hostages and holding them captive," unquote. Israel's long-term aim in Lebanon is open to question. When Netanyahu appealed recently to Lebanese to rise up against Hezbollah to save their country, he may have had something more sinister in mind. He said, quote, "You have an opportunity to save Lebanon before it falls into the abyss of a long war that will lead to destruction and suffering like we see in Gaza," unquote. But behind the scenes in Israel, voices are rising, and not just on the far right, to make the cleared area permanently free of Lebanese, a buffer zone that would amount to forced displacement, which is contrary to international law. That idea squares with what Israel seems to have in mind in northern Gaza, where it has issued orders for Palestinians to clear the entire area. According to the UN, that would amount to about 300,000 to 500,000 people. The orders are a death threat for tens of thousands of residents who have been constantly pushed around and subject to bombing in so-called safe zones. As a retired Israeli Defense Forces general says, quote, "The entire northern territory will become military territory, meaning it will be a free fire zone in which anyone staying will be presumed to be a terrorist. No food or other aid will be allowed in. Israeli authorities acknowledge that no plan exists for the return of the Palestinian population to their homes." This sounds very much like ethnic cleansing. Thinking crazy thoughts in Israel. Dennis Ross, a longtime U.S. diplomat and one-time special envoy to the Middle East, made the following statement recently. "From a U.S. standpoint, while it looks like we are in a region characterized by conflict, we are also seeing the most important Iranian proxy degraded. opportunity to recreate Lebanon. If we can stop this war, this provides an opportunity to reshape the Middle East. Imagine that. What's ominous about those words is that they echo what some prominent political figures and commentators in Israel are saying, namely, that now is the time for Israel, once and for all, to rid the world of Hamas, Hezbollah, and the Iranian threat. For example, Ben-Dror Yemini, an independent journalist, writes, quote, "We are reaching the moment of decision because no strike on Hamas or Hezbollah will help without striking Iran, the head of the snake. Now it is Israel's turn to turn crazy," unquote. In a world hostile to Israel, where, he says, the axis of evil has widespread support, Israel must act on its own and the world's best interest by taking out Iran's nuclear facilities. How that will actually make Israel, the Middle East, or anywhere else more secure isn't argued. Go crazy indeed. The U.S. is actually making Netanyahu's decision on a military response to Iran easier by sending an advanced missile defense system to Israel to be operated by U.S. troops. That deployment may give Israel cover for its anticipated retaliation. It also marks a critical step toward direct U.S. involvement on Israel's side, with the added possibility of U.S. casualties should Iran further retaliate. CNN reports that the U.S. and Israel have been in consultation about Israel's next step. Biden is said to have urged a proportional Israeli attack, which presumably means asking that it not attack Iran's oil fields or nuclear facilities. Netanyahu has reportedly assured Biden that Israel will only hit military targets in Iran. How to interpret this? Instead of trying to end this escalating tit-for-tat situation, the leader of the world's most powerful nation is contributing, albeit reluctantly, to more warfare, concerned about an election and oil prices, but apparently not about civilian lives, the Israeli government's indifference to American advice, or the prospect of a regional war. Biden may say all kinds of nasty things about Netanyahu. According to Bob Woodward's new book, Biden calls the Israeli leader a, well, I can't repeat it on air, but a bad guy. But the president time and again has allowed Bibi to act contrary to U.S. wishes and contrary to international law. The situation in Haiti is dire. Despite the presence of a Kenyan international peacekeeping force, gangs still control most of the capital, Port-au-Prince, and key access points to other cities. The force is outmanned by the gangs, which, as before, rule by violence in neighborhoods. An on-the-scene journalist reports the following. More than 700,000 people who fled their homes during a wave of violence over the past year and a half are still unable to return. Half the country's population, roughly 5.4 million people, struggles to eat every day, and at least 6,000 people living in squalid camps are facing starvation, according to an analysis released recently by a group of global experts. In other news, Taiwan's president keeps taunting the People's Republic of China. At a party to celebrate Taiwan's 113th birthday, President Lai Ching-te said the Republic of China on Taiwan cannot consider the People's Republic the motherland. After all, said Lai, the People's Republic of China has only celebrated its 75th birthday. Therefore, in terms of age, it is definitely impossible for the People's Republic of China to be the motherland of the people of the Republic of China. On the contrary, he added, the Republic of China on Taiwan may actually be the motherland of the people over 75 years old on the mainland. As he has said on previous occasions, President Lai referred to Taiwan's sovereignty, contrary to Beijing's view that Taiwan belongs to China. Predictably, soon after Lai's speech, China began new military exercises in and around the Taiwan Strait. Its Eastern Command announced that the drill, quote, serves as a stern warning to the separatist acts of Taiwan independence forces. It is a legitimate and necessary operation for safeguarding state sovereignty and national unity, unquote. Taiwan called the drill a provocation, but China promised still more drills. Elon Musk decides to pay fines in Brazil. Some weeks ago, I reported that Elon Musk had defied Brazil's Supreme Court by failing to comply with a law that requires businesses, in this case X, to name a local representative. The court said he had to pay millions of dollars in fines, and Musk rejected that. What the dispute was really all about was the court's finding that X, which has 22 million viewers in Brazil, was disseminating far-right misinformation and anti-democratic content. Now Musk has about-faced and agreed to the ruling and to paying the hefty fine. Gerson Camarati, a prominent Brazilian political commentator, told the news channel Globo News, quote, "This was about non-compliance with judicial decisions. It's Brazilian democracy that gains with this. The most interesting thing," he said, "is that Brazil didn't grind to a halt because of the ban on X. Nobody in Brazil died because of the absence of X," he said. Camarati lamented how Musk's social media platform had become, quote, "the network of hatred." The World Bank assesses China's economic slowdown. The World Bank has joined numerous others in assessing what China's economic slowdown means for the rest of Asia. As reported by Bloomberg, quote, "China's expansion is set to drop to 4.3% next year from an estimated 4.8% growth in 2024. As a result, growth in East Asia and the Pacific, which includes countries like Indonesia, Australia, and Korea, will slow to 4.4% in 2025 from about 4.8% this year. The bank is not convinced that the Chinese government's various monetary stimuli will significantly jumpstart the economy. China needs structural reform," says the bank. Made in China, Trump's Bibles. Donald Trump and J.D. Vance have extolled the virtues of bringing manufacturing back to the USA, especially from China. And since China is national security threat number one, we would expect that the former president would want to avoid doing business with those communists. But of course, exceptions are made when profit is possible. According to a report from the Associated Press, the Bibles, which retail for $59.99, are being produced for less than $3 each by a printing company in Hangzhou, China. Import and export shipping records analyzed by the Associated Press identified three separate shipments of Bibles with an estimated value of $342,000, suggesting $7 million in revenue off of this grift. Trump produced the Bibles in partnership with Greenwood and offers special editions, including a signed copy that retails for $1,000 and a "The Day God Intervened" edition commemorating the assassination attempt against Trump in July. The website where the Bibles are sold claims no affiliation with Trump's presidential campaign, only the use of his name, likeness, and image under paid license. Trump has so far earned at least $300,000 from this venture. I wonder how Trump sneakers, high top and low top, golf items, pieces of his assassination time suit, watches, coins, and cologne, have I missed anything, are doing, and how many of those items are also made in China. Finally, some news in brief. First, Canada has expelled six Indian diplomats over the killing of a Sikh separatist leader last year. Both India's embassy and its intelligence service have been credibly linked to the assassination. Next, U.S. intelligence estimates total Russian war casualties at 615,000 in Ukraine since the war began, 115,000 dead, 500,000 wounded. Ukraine's casualties are estimated at 57,500 dead and about 250,000 wounded. The figures reflect the war's character, attrition, a meat grinder. Next, the Wall Street Journal reports on a Chinese hacking group that penetrated the networks of several large U.S.-based internet service providers, including Verizon and AT&T, and may have gained access to systems used for court-authorized wiretaps of communications networks. The purpose of the hacking may have been to discover the Chinese targets of surveillance efforts. Whether the hackers succeeded at acquiring a list of such targets isn't certain. It is also not clear, says the Washington Post, whether the subjects of the surveillance at issue were targeted in domestic criminal investigations or in national security cases, such as espionage, terrorism, or cybersecurity. And finally, tensions are rising again between the two Koreas. Each side charges the other with provocations, the North citing U.S.-South Korean joint military exercises and South Korean drone intrusions, the South citing trash-filled balloons sent into its territory, and threats to blow up East and West roads that connect the two countries. In the background is North Korea's announced aim to enforce separation between the two Koreas, ending hopes for eventual reunification. That's the Global Citizen International Digest for the week. I'm Mel Gertov. Thanks for listening and take good care.